Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bocce Boys podcast. Today is September 12th. We have a big show for you. The NFL is back. College football is here. It's been here. We got more to talk about with that. And we'll get you ready for your fantasy season. Pay attention to the end because you're going to want to know who we're starting or who we're not. But that's at the end, and that starts right now. Davis, welcome back to the Bocce Boys podcast. Dude, we have so much to talk about, but we've been talking about like football being back and college football being back. But again, I just want to take this moment. NFL's back now. We're 2 weeks into college football. We're like, the fall vibes are here. Embrace it. This is the moment, Davis. Embrace it. Drink it in, right?
100%. I mean, this, we've been waiting all summer for this. I am so happy that I didn't spend my afternoon after work watching the Toronto Blue Jays no hit the Mets for 8 innings and then give up 6 runs in the top of the ninth. And the Mets ended up winning 6-2, which, by the way, terrible beat if you had the under in that game. I did not. I am the baseball and
they were September. The Mets won.
No hit through 8 innings, got 6 runs in the top of the ninth, and the Blue Jays scored 1 in the bottom of the ninth, make it 6-2. And the over-under of that game was 7.5. Could you imagine if you had the under going into the ninth inning of a no-hit ball game and losing 6-2?
I don't even know what to say. That's crazy. That is crazy. I saw that notification that they were being no-hit leaving work, and I just never booked back on it. That's crazy. Wow, what a start. What a start, Davis. But stuff like that, that's why you got to pay attention to the baseball. Don't forget, baseball is still on. We're in the heat of pennant races, right?
Correct.
Wild card races.
It was actually a huge win for the Mets being tied with the Braves for that last NL wild card slot. Probably not going to touch on baseball a ton today, but no. there is a decent amount to go over in the coming weeks.
Yeah, for sure. We will get to baseball soon. But like we said, it's football season, and let's talk some college football to start, Davis. I know Texas beat Michigan. I know there's some other things that happened this weekend, but I want to bring up, Davis, low-key, one of the best upsets in college football history. Seriously, a MAC team beat a top five ranked opponent for the first time ever. Northern Illinois took down number 5, Notre Dame and the Fighting Irish. This was, to say the least, one of the most shocking results in a while. I was at a wedding. I saw this happen when the result went final. I didn't watch any of the game, and I feel like an idiot for not checking because, like, just as, like, you've gotten me into this gambling brain, just thinking of what that number could have been, even with, like, a full quarter left is crazy. I wish I was looking at it.
100%. Trust me, I was looking at it. I mean, you could have very well taken the opening line, which – not going to lie to you, a lot of people, I didn't touch it. It's just weird games, weird things happen. A lot of people were on Northern Illinois plus 28.5.
Okay. But not to win outright.
Obviously, they won outright, which not a lot of people would have expected. I watched the last 2 drives or so of this game. This is the second week in a row I've been extremely disappointed by Notre Dame. They are fugazi, fraudulent, any word you could possibly think of. Riley Leonard, I came into the year as a Notre Dame believer. Everyone already locked them up for the 5 spot coming into the year because obviously
I think I did
that conference. Yeah. I wouldn't have locked them up at the 5 spot, but you know, an 11-1 Notre Dame team definitely gets 5, 6, 7, 8, gets a home game,
which can still happen.
Which can definitely still happen. They obviously beat Texas A&M in an ugly, ugly game at the 12th man down on Kyle Field last week. And this Notre Dame team is going to be favored in every single game for the rest of the season. So they, I mean, you would think they should go 12-0. Obviously, that's not going to happen. In prior years, their season might be over right now. But they still could hunt for a home playoff game with the new format we have, which is why college football with this new format is going to be very interesting. Some people like it. Some people don't.
I do find it interesting just because a win or the win last week for Notre Dame was huge program building to continue to go in the right step with Marcus Freeman. But like any other year, this is like you get fired for this. You get fired for losing this Northern Illinois game. But it's fun because like Notre Dame, like, you know, maybe they shouldn't be given all the chances in the world, but they have another chance. It's cool to see that these schools that didn't have a chance now have a chance. And by chance, I mean like they can lose a game. Or they can lose the game that they were supposed to win. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out when, like, you know, maybe Penn State beats Ohio State and, like, what happens with Ohio State at the end of the year. Or if Penn State wins out and barely loses to Ohio State, where do you put Penn State on that ranking? Stuff like that could be really interesting. But, dude, I'm beyond shocked Notre Dame lost. And it's got to suck to be an Irish fan.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who is – in the mind rooting for them because I have over 10 and their win total. I thought that if before the season, if they were to beat Texas A&M, 10 wins seems easy. You know, they still give up a game and
you think,
Ethan, now I'm a little worried. I don't see this team still dropping down to 9 wins. I don't see my bet being a push or being a loss. I can definitely being a push at this point. You know, they don't have a cupcake walk to end the year. They are favored in every game, but
they end it with USC, right?
They end with USC, which is
going to be a true blue game. Playoff game at that point.
If Notre Dame is 10-1 going into that game, I think that'd be very interesting. But we have to get to that point first. And I say we. I hate Notre Dame. I cannot stand Notre Dame. They're one of my least favorite organizations in all of sports. I'd probably put them top 10 in my least favorite. Really? 100%. I cannot stand them. And I came into the season with a lot of hopes on Riley Leonard, the Duke quarterback transfer. Ethan, his stats to start the year, 37 for 36 in the air, under a 60% completion percentage and only 381 yards, one touchdown, one pick. It looks ugly so far.
That's a decent week one stat line for an NFL quarterback. Not correct. Great.
Correct.
Yeah. But Notre Dame is firmly on the hot seat for the rest of the year. But let's go around the rest of the nation. Texas handedly took care of Michigan in the Big House. This was really, really nice to watch just as a Penn State fan, just to watch Michigan get the shit kicked out of them, get what was kind of coming to them all offseason. We knew that they weren't going to be as strong. But I think this is more of an exclamation point on Texas's part. I think Texas looked like the real deal. People were calling them potential national champions and really like shouting their praises from the rooftops, which they should. They beat the national champions. But one thing was evident that Michigan does not have this year. And, you know, I think Texas is heading in the right direction, but are they still national championship team caliber? In the last two playoff games. I don't know.
Yeah. You're talking about Michigan, of course.
I'm talking about Texas.
I'm sorry. Texas, I don't know. You've heard me say over the last few podcasts that I think they're going to Texas this year. But again, I believe I said it on the last one. I didn't think it was going to happen this game. This Michigan team is in the same boat. They're actually in a worse boat than Notre Dame, in my opinion. They just completely lost everybody. Them and Washington were the two teams that
lost. And at like their most key positions.
Correct. And they are also one of very few teams. A lot of people look at this. They were one of the few teams that lost their coach, both their coordinators. Now, technically, one of their coordinators did move up to the head coaching role, but basically they lost their head coach, their coordinators, their quarterback, and like over 15 people on their starting rotation.
I mean, that's enough to,
something insane to think about. I don't think Michigan's going to be extremely good this year. The Lions said that their win total was like 7.5 coming into this year. So honestly, not very surprised. And you'll see through both of our bets that we were both on the right side of this one.
Of course we were, because we hate Michigan, but I really did feel that Texas was going to come in and prove a point. You'll see, we'll talk about my bet next, but, let's talk about this Tennessee NC State game. I didn't watch any of it. I saw that Nico had two picks and they still won by like 40. I'm not gonna lie to you, Davis. I may or may not have placed a Nico future to win the Heisman last weekend. And I saw the stats and I started freaking out, but this is a step in the right direction for a Nico future, right?
100%. Yeah. He's down to 12-1 on DraftKings to win.
Yeah. I got a 14
Heisman. I'm not going to tell you, I have wrong sides of bets all the time. I have been on
I don't feel great about this
recently. I, I said, what did I say over the offseason? I said, I thought this Tennessee team could win the SEC. I talked about their schedule. I talked about, you know, especially the ACC too. I have Miami. I don't think NC State is very good. They definitely don't have the defensive line they've had in the past. They've had some tremendous defensive linemen come out of the Wolfpack that are now in the NFL. But this Tennessee team is definitely scary, I think. I would not be shocked if they host a home playoff game at some point in the near future or even with the SEC. I don't know if it's going to be this year, even though they did win this ranked matchup. By the end of the year, we might look at this and say NC State won 75. You know, whatever. But I think this Tennessee team is going to be definitely scary, a scary head of the SEC.
Yeah, I'm really, really curious to see how Tennessee plays out. Them and Penn State were like the clear blue teams that were made for this playoff. Let's go down the list, Davis. Boise State and Oregon. Oregon again flirting with an early season loss. This one was much closer to a much better opponent. Almost lost last week to Idaho. This week is Boise State. I wish I bet on Boise State to cover because I was really, really thinking about it. I thought Oregon was going to come out and prove a point after getting close with Idaho, but is this just who Oregon is? Are they just going to keep it close and keep it ugly? Like, is Dylan Gabriel not him?
No, I think this Boise State team is very good.
That running back, what's his name?
I have offseason bets on them to make the college football playoff as that 12th team, be basically the best group of five team. That was like plus 500 over the offseason. That's down
to kind of surprising
now. Northern Illinois actually jumped up a lot too, because now they're ranked. But this Boise State team,
they're ranked. Good for them.
Their defense could be a little suspect, but they also just played Oregon. And I mean, when I say they only gave up 37 points, that's not that bad. You know what I mean? Like in college football standards, it's not too bad. Penn State just gave up.
NC State gave up 50 in Tennessee.
100%. But this Boise State team is run all the way through Ashton Jeanti. He is the running back who scored six touchdowns last week. He scored three last week. I would take a peek at him to win the Heisman, to be completely honest with you. Just a complete long shot. And actually, no, it's not even a long shot anymore because he's all the way down to 22-1. He might not even have been on the board to start the year. This Boise State team can be good. I'm smelling 12-1 and a berth into the inaugural college football playoff.
Yeah, I would hope so. Just seeing that blue field, even if it's not a home game, just like on like the alternate like kind of camera shot when they come back from a commercial break, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So hopefully Oregon is shitty the rest of the year, though. Going on to another Big Ten team, though, that was surprising, kind of scary. How are we feeling about Nebraska, dude? I know Colorado. I feel like Colorado is getting put in their place now, but the defense played well and the offense didn't play well in this game. Colorado showed up to play. Shador didn't, but Dylan Raiola and the Cornhuskers damn sure did. And now the Cornhuskers are ranked and now they're heading in the right direction. How are we feeling about Nebraska?
Yeah, I would say they're back. If you look at their schedule, it smells like 9 wins to me. And being in the top half of this Big Ten is definitely a feat for the way the realignment just went around.
For sure.
This Nebraska team is really good. And I'm going to say it again. I've said it even a year ago when we were doing these podcasts. This Colorado team is awful. I think I said as we ended the last podcast, I didn't care what the spread was. Bet Nebraska. I looked after the podcast because I actually wasn't sure, and it was 7. So
that's it.
Would have made some free money on Nebraska if you took my advice. I did not even touch this game. I actually didn't watch a snap, but I did see after Shador Sanders was openly not very happy with his offensive line. Definitely not a good way to come out to the press. And, you know,
doing that week 2 is crazy.
They still got to play 10 more games this year.
Yeah, doing that week 2 is crazy. I mean, if as the quarterback, that's the one position you cannot talk shit on. You cannot, because all it takes is one guy to be like, "What was that?" Just gonna let him walk right by you, get pancaked, you're gonna break your arm, and that's it. So Shador really got to be smarter than that. I also saw that he left with like 2 minutes left in the game. Not great. But let's go on to another team that I think deserves the talk: the Syracuse Fighting Orange. I think they're the Fighting Orange, or they're just the Orange. They get a huge ACC win over ranked, barely ranked, but ranked Georgia Tech, who beat Florida State 2 weeks ago. Kyle McCord and the boys looking good. McCord, I thought he was good last year for Ohio State, but he's hitting another level right now in the ACC, man.
Yep. I actually, they were a dog in this game. Really? It's a college, it's a really big, obviously, college basketball thing. We both hammered it last year and it worked a lot. The unranked home team against the ranked away team. Yep. Syracuse was actually a dog in this game. They were +3. I took the +3. I also took the money line, both hit, which was awesome. And it even hits harder to home when I was funny enough. I was able to throw up that weird DraftKings bet that they had 2 weeks ago of who was going to have more wins this year, Syracuse or Wisconsin. And I told you I was all over Syracuse. And
yeah, I like that.
Wisconsin coming up now has a pretty tough game. You know, I know they're at home, but pretty tough game against the Crimson Tide and Jalen Milroe, Heisman candidate. So that bet's looking pretty solid right now.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And then the last game, the Battle of Iowa. I didn't watch this game at all. Any comments?
I didn't. The only thing I wanted to say about this game is please remind me in the future, every single time this game is played, tell me to take the plus points, because this game always ends in a 1 or 2 3-point game. So it doesn't matter who's favorite. It doesn't matter who's on the road, who's a dog. This game always ends 2019 every single year, yeah. I feel like.
No, yeah, it does. And Iowa's just terrible when they're ranked. I feel like they're always decent when they're not ranked, and then they get ranked, and then they get crushed. So correct. Not great. Also, heard Kirk Ferentz came back from a one-game suspension to Many Men by 50 Cent. What?
Yeah, what? That's wild.
Yeah, I don't – that's wild. All right, on to the NFL, Davis. Let's get to the prime time. I'm sorry. Actually, hold on. This is kind of both bets and NFL. One thing I did want to talk about. I was an idiot. I accidentally took Texas -7.5 instead of 6.5. The line moved while I was in Massachusetts. But I loved it anyway. Go Horns. They kicked their ass. This parlay, I loved that over in that Cardinals-Buffalo game. It was moving a lot. I saw there was a lot of wind, and I almost, like, edged off. But I liked it. It was a great game. Texas-Colts, that was crazy. And then, honestly, it felt really disgusting to root for the Cowboys, but that was such an easy win that, thank God, and then, like, waste any breath on that. That was disgusting. Yep. I hate betting on the Cowboys.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, I don't know. I think Jameis Winston could be a better starting quarterback in this league at this point.
We'll get to that at the end. And then I bet Saquon to score first touchdown, and I should have just bet him to score all the touchdowns. So that was my fault.
Yeah, probably would have hit that.
Yeah, go Birds. But I didn't bet much this week. What did you have?
Yeah, I had a decent amount. Not a ton, but I had Texas -6.5. That's the exact same bet. I just took 6.5. Now, yeah. I think something that I definitely want to hammer home is some of these FanDuel boosts. There was none on Sunday, which I was very surprised about. But yeah, this was the Friday night one. The Thursday night one was Mahomes and Lamar Jackson combined for 450 passing yards. That hit, easily.
It did.
Wow. Easily. I did not bet that one. I actually really didn't like it, to be completely honest with you, with Lamar Jackson. But hammered this one. Saquon Jacobs combined for 120 rushing yards.
I think Saquon hit 120.
Saquon had 108 on the ground or something by himself. Yeah. That was easy. Put up a loser. I had Kansas -4.5 on the road against Illinois. I went against my word. I just said the ranked away team against the unranked home team. I just thought Illinois really isn't that good this year.
Did they win?
Illinois won outright.
Yep. Wow.
Tennessee -8.5 was all over it. This NC State team was 100% fraudulent. And I think, I'm not going to say his name, but Nick I, the quarterback for Tennessee and the Volunteers, he should be in the Heisman discussion all year, in my opinion.
Nico Yamaleva.
Something like that.
It's a double L that makes a Y, but there's like half of an L. I've tried it once and I got it right, but like I had Google help me.
There's way too many syllables. Syracuse money line down low. I just told you that. Also had the 3.5. So nice. That was a nice way to start the day off on the noon slate.
Yeah, I love it, Davis. All right, NFL Week 2. I'm gonna be honest. I haven't really looked at any of these matchups besides the Thursday night game, which they really juiced the Thursday night games this year, I think.
Yeah,
a lot better matchups. So Bills Dolphins to start the year. I really like this. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was just being a little stupid on Sunday night and I thought Josh Allen was more hurt than he was, so I bet the Dolphins to win by 14. I've since cashed that out because I thought that was a little silly because Josh Allen is going to play. Not great, but I do love the Dolphins in this game, Davis. How do you feel about the Thursday night matchup?
First off, you should never cash out that bet. You should just wait for it live and then hedge the other way if possible. If not, it's just a loser.
I'm a loser.
I love the Bills in this spot. The 2.5 is ugly. The line is moving that way too.
Okay.
I've actually been down on the Bills all offseason, to be completely honest.
I know.
It just feels Josh Allen has owned the Miami Dolphins almost as much as anybody has owned anything in their entire lives.
But not in Miami.
He has owned them in Miami. He beat them in a huge, huge Sunday night football game last year. I believe it was week 16, week 17 for huge playoff implications. And he beat him in Miami. I can't trust Tua. I really can't. That's why I picked the Jets to win this division. I know they just lost, and we'll go over that. Don't worry. But this Bills team is healthy at the moment. I don't think that they're going to be healthy by the end of the year. They have an aging defense, a lot of retirees. But Josh Allen, I know the whole hand thing, but I think this Bills team does find a way to cover this game. I know it's only 2.5, so it's hard to say they'll cover and not win. But
yeah,
I wouldn't hate the 2.5. But this is also a game where you look live. The Dolphins start the game and get the ball. And they get a first down, that line already jumps up to 3. So that's what I'm gonna be looking for.
That's fair. And it's not like the Dolphins have any extenuating circumstances that will make things a distraction for them outside of the football field, right?
No, I don't think so. No, okay. None of these videos coming out of body cams, nothing.
No, nothing like that. So I think Tyreek Hill will be fine. It's not like any crazy things happen over the weekend. Tyreek Hill is gonna keep getting himself in trouble. If you saw the body cam footage, it's tough. It's a tough look. I hope justice is served. But Tyreek Hill confirmed not a great guy, so I'm just going to step away from that one.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. I hope he gets hit on the football field, and I hope things take care of itself off the field.
There are a lot of guys that are idolized sports-wise that aren't great guys that we all forget about. That's true. Not going to mention them.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point.
Not going to mention it. But,
no,
that's a great point. Yeah, definitely a very sad – knowing of, we'll make it real for 1 second. Very sad of what kind of culture we're in right now.
For sure.
Let's move on.
Yeah. It's tough. But in Miami, Tyreek Hill's got a game to get to. What are we doing? Let the guy go. What are we doing? It's week one. What are we doing? Anyway, let's not do the Browns yet. Chargers Panthers isn't better either. I love Harbaugh. I think they're going to kick the shit out of the Panthers this weekend. Any discussion?
Yeah, I think so. You're going to see a nice little trend here of these games being somewhat between 3 and 6, which are ugly numbers. No, I can't ever like the Panthers, but I don't really want to like either. So I think I'm going to stay away. If anything, maybe the under. I think this is a stay away game for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. Saints Cowboys. How are we feeling about the Saints?
I think the Saints are good this year. And I think I think Derek Carr is actually underrated. People talk about how he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. He doesn't get it done. I mean, we've seen this team be okay. They've gotten 8-9 wins the last few years. It's not like they're a bottom feeder. I don't have trust in this Dallas team, even though I saw what happened to them in Cleveland. Taking on the Browns and basically giving up only one first down in the first half. But that's Deshaun Watson, and I think he might be worse than Derek Carr at this point. I think the Saints defense is actually pretty solid too. I'll take the Saints plus 6.5.
Interesting. I would love to bet that. We'll see how that week goes. Raiders and the Ravens. Are the Raiders really bad?
No, I don't think so. I think it's an overreact. Okay. I think that they're really bad. Okay. I think that I almost said Alec Pierce. What's his name?
Ingold?
No,
Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce. Very interesting coach philosophy.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the way
that he operates. Talking about the punt?
What'd he say?
You talking about the punt?
Yeah. Yeah. You come into the game, you're an old school guy, the way you coach, and you want your team to be aggressive and you hit hard, but then you punt from your own 43 or whatever. I think that's
second half, right?
It's an ugly look very late in the second half. I think it's an ugly look.
The Ravens are probably going to be the most bet survivor team of week two.
Yeah, I would agree. I would love to see the Ravens get back to form and kick the crap out of the Raiders, because that end of that Chiefs game last Thursday night was amazing. Kind of a stinker fest most of the time, but the ending was great.
Yep.
On to low-key the game of the week, the Buccaneers and the Lions. Dude, the Buccaneers kicked the dog crap out of the Commanders last week. That defense looked really good. Baker Mayfield had three tutties, two to my guy Mike Evans. It's not just because the Buccaneers beat the Eagles in the playoffs last year. I mean, that maybe adds a little bit, but I think they might be good, dude.
I think seriously. So too. I think so too. I am
the Lions are really good too, by the way.
A lot of people are talking about whether last year was a fluke with Dave Canales, and now Dave Canales is the coach of the Panthers. Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Cheating on his wife, running the book.
I'm taking the Buccaneers right here. You can see the line has moved across that seven number, which is a really big number to go across. I see it as a one possession game. I would take it. But I also wouldn't be shocked if the Lions figure it out.
I agree too. I think the Lions are really, really good. Also, their uniform upgrades were very slight and very like small, but well done.
They blue
face
cool.
masks.
They look fantastic.
They look fantastic. Jameson Williams looks great in that uniform. I don't know why.
Yes.
Titans Jets. This is a weird one, bro. My gut is to say the Jets come out and get some revenge for Monday night and getting thoroughly embarrassed, kind of. But I don't know what to make of that AFC South division. I think they could be frisky the entire year.
This is one of the few games this week I'm going to take the favorite. I like the Jets. I do think that this is a revenge spot for them. Now, if you're talking to me this time next Thursday, I will not like the Jets when they play against the New England Patriots at home, because it's going to be the Jets' third game in 10 days. But at this point, we're thinking about a short week, and Will Levis did not look good. That Tennessee team, their defensive coordinator came out and said if they punted the ball on first and 10, their last two or three drives, they would have won the game. And they lost to Chicago, and a Caleb Williams-led team. Caleb Williams looked terrible. We'll get there. I'm going to take the Jets on this -3.5.
Yeah, no, that's completely valued. That's crazy, by the way. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Poor Will Levis. He's probably been eating it on social media the last couple months.
He did not have a great start to the year, which I would say I think is probably a pretty excited Titans fan base right now.
Yeah.
They're not terrible.
Got to be a really tough pill to swallow week one, though, if you're a Titans 100%. Fan. That surrender Cobra interception, Jesus. But the last game on the first column here, Seahawks Patriots, dude. Sorry.
What happened here?
Patriots though. We talked about it early.
Yeah. Wow. We also, I'm starting to realize we did this backwards. We're doing week two preview before we week one review. But doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all. Yeah, this is a very interesting game. I am also going to take the Seahawks here. I think the Patriots, that game showed – what did you say?
Fluke?
Not fluke. More of that Joe Burrow might not be as healthy as people think. And his wrist injury that he's got last year, that doctors have confirmed that is going to be an issue for the rest of his life. He did not look very good.
Wait. What happened to his wrist? That's the rest of his life.
He did something to it where like did you see the video of him trying to pick up the water bottle on the sideline during the game? Like he couldn't even put his wrist in a position like this to pick up a water bottle. Like he I don't know if it's like early onset arthritis, but it's like it's something that like literally can't be fixed, and it could be a major issue. So that's the fluke thing of things, I would say. Now, I will say the Patriots defense played phenomenal. Christian Gonzalez, in my opinion, is the most underrated cornerback maybe of all time at the moment. The guy is shutting down receivers like it's
the most athletic defensive player in the league. He's
correct. Please do not bet on DK Metcalf whatsoever on anything. I'm going to look Jackson Smith and Jigba next week 100%, but I still think that the Seahawks will win this game, and I think they cover pretty easily, to be completely honest with you.
Interesting. I'm not sure about that game at all. It just smells fishy. On to another game that smells fishy, this Browns-Jags game. I think I'm reading it right. That line is 3. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
The Browns defense is good. The Jags offense looked good last weekend, but both teams lost. And I mean, the Jags had that lead in that Dolphins game most of the time and just kind of gave up. Yeah. I don't know. My gut says the Jags.
Yeah. I think this is one of those weird things where I think a lot of people's guts say the Jags. And I actually am going to go the other way. And I've talked about, I just talked about how bad the Browns look. I think Kevin Stefanski is the better, one of the best coaches in the NFL. I do think
he over Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Correct. At the moment, wow. Yes, I think so.
Shout out Kevin Stefanski.
Love Sanders Doug graduate. Peterson. Love Doug Peterson, but I mean, we've seen him make some terrible. I mean, dude, they went like 1-7 to end the year last year and missed the playoffs. That's fair. They started the year like 8-1, 8-2.
Yeah, they were great.
But I saw a great stat that in week 2, when there's 2 0-1 teams that play, the underdog against the spread covers like 68% of the time. So I'll take a flyer here. And just because it's 3.5 points, I'll take the Browns.
That's fair. The defense is good enough to take it. I think that's definitely fair. On to another interesting matchup, the Niners and the Vikings. The Niners were coming into that Monday Night Football game, and I think a lot of people were doubting them, including me, and I will continue to doubt them because I hate the Niners. Mm-hmm. But this Vikings team is also good. They look good against the Giants. Sam Darnold did his thing. Give me the Niners with the spread. I think they kill them.
I agree. Don't really have to say much else. I think it was a little fugazi what the Vikings did.
Yeah, I think so too. The Giants are bad. Colts and the Packers. The Packers are missing Mr. Jordan Love.
Which has not been confirmed, by the way. Blanking on his name, Matt LaFleur actually just came out today and said there's still a chance Jordan Love could play this week.
Interesting.
Is he Christian McCaffrey-ing us? I don't know. I really don't.
I think so. I wouldn't rely on that. And because of that, I would take the Colts this weekend. They looked really close, or looked really good in a close game with the Texans last weekend. And I don't even know if Anthony Richardson has technically a win in his like NFL career yet, but he needs something this year to like really launch himself and make the Colts feel like they can make a playoff spot possibly.
Yeah. Here's some great stats on starting quarterback Malik Willis. Started in 3 NFL games his entire career.
Liberty quarterback. So he good.
Never scored more than 17 points in a full NFL game that he's played.
Does that include preseason?
No. Okay. It does not. Give me the under. I'm going to stay away from the spread. To be completely honest with you,
no, that's a great call.
I don't love the Colts -3. For some reason, this feels like a game that the Packers can just stay in, and we saw their running game. They ran all over the Eagles on Friday night. And the Eagles are known to have a good rush defense, and the pass defense is the problem. So I'm going to lean the under, and I'm actually going to lean the +3 just because it's +3.
Interesting. All right. I do love that under, though. That's a good call. It's not even on the screen, and we know it's a good under. Giants and Commanders next. The battle of two of the stinkiest teams in the NFC East. Not sure what to think about either of these teams yet, other than they're really bad. I think the Commanders' defense is bad. I think the Giants' defense is bad. But I think that Giants' offense is just a tad worse. And Daniel Jones, I think he's just straight up the worst quarterback in, like, next to Bryce Young in the league right now. So I think the Commanders come out hot, dude. I don't know about you.
Yeah, to be completely honest, I don't really understand why the line is 1.5. I mean, we started the year, the Commanders win total was like 6.5. The Giants was 5.5. I guess you're telling me that this should be a pick 'em and that the home field advantage only accounts for 1 point.
That is Washington.
I don't know. I'm going to take the Commanders on this.
Yeah.
I think if this line were to, for some reason, jump back up to 3, I would take a chance on Daniel Jones and this, new age defense that they so-called they think they have. I'm going to take the Commanders, though. It sounds weird to say. I feel like they proved themselves way more last week than the Giants have in the last 2 years. And they didn't even do that well. So no. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels, and I'm going to give a shot to the rookie as a favorite.
Yeah, that's exactly my thinking there. I like that. And, you know, whoever loses, I hope they keep losing because F them. All right, yeah. Next team, Cardinals and the Rams. The Cardinals are a weird team. We'll get to their fantasy outlook with Marvin in a second, but they fought with the Bills. Whether the Bills are good or not is remains to be seen, but can they hang with their division rival, the Rams, who hung with the Lions last weekend, that Sunday night game?
I'd say they do. They opened up as a plus 2.5 dog, and they've moved all the way now to the favorite. I'm going to take the Rams here. I know that the Puka injury is being talked about a lot. I think
a couple offensive linemen.
They had a ton of issues with the offensive line. I don't think that this Cardinals defense. This might be the worst in the entire league, behind the Giants. Right with the Giants. I would actually not hate the over in this game, but I'm going to take the Rams, and I would take them on the money line at plus one. You know, they're plus 1.5, so you got to think that they're going to be right at even money to win this game, and I'll take it.
Yeah, I like that too. I really do. The Rams are going to be very, very interesting the rest of the year. They got to get healthy, but that defense is legit, and they don't have Aaron Donald. They looked good last Sunday.
Yeah.
On to the Bengals and the Chiefs, Davis. The Bengals are in a weird spot. T. Higgins decided he was injured the night before and just missed last week's game. I saw that he's probably not going to play this week either. Jamar Chase is a full go after last week, but like you mentioned, Joe Burrow possibly having wrist problems. The Bengals have been known the last couple of years to start very slow anyway. So saying that, I would take the Chiefs in this game, man. I think the Chiefs are going to come out and blitz them. And whether the Bengals are good the rest of the year remains to be seen, but I actually don't think this game is going to be an indicator of that.
Yeah, and Joe, when you say slow start, it has always been week one and two. So I don't see the Bengals coming in. This was my AFC championship, and I'm not going to change it just because we've only seen 1 week. But yeah. I'm going to take the Chiefs here. I'm still going to hang on the idea that it could be the AFC championship game. That was my pick. I can't switch that just after watching 60 minutes of football on each side. But I'm going to take the Chiefs. Yeah. This line has moved all the way up to 5, which is very interesting. I wouldn't be shocked if the first half line is 3.5. I don't know what it is. If it's 2.5, I wouldn't hate the Chiefs. But if it's plus 3.5 for the Bengals, that defense could be a little – they could be sticklers. I mean, we saw the Ravens defense kind of stop the Chiefs. They ran a few nice – not trick plays, but kind of trick plays with Xavier Worthy that worked. I don't know. I think this could be a close game. I think I'm honestly going to stay away from it. Maybe the under.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Chiefs are probably the best way to go, but this could get weird. It definitely could. On to another weird game, the Steelers and the Broncos. I believe Justin Fields is going to start for the Steelers this Sunday. Bo Nix looked absolutely horrible last weekend against the Seahawks. I think there was some stat that was he had the second lowest yards per throw ever for a rookie debut. Not great. But, he had to travel. He was on the road, and now they're starting at home against, I don't know, maybe a more fair opponent. I'm not really sure how the Steelers are yet, but how are you feeling about the Broncos, man?
It's a great question. I don't know. A lot of people like their over and win total at 5.5, but that was before they saw Bo Nix play week one.
Correct.
I don't have a ton of faith in the Broncos. I did last year, and you will have no idea how stressed out I was for the Broncos' last leg of my parlay to be over 6.5 wins. I absolutely sweated out them getting 7 wins last year.
It's close.
It shouldn't have been that close. There were a few close calls. I don't know if you remember, but I believe it was week 2 or week 3. They played the Commanders, and the Commanders actually threw a 60-yard Hail Mary to make the game a 2-point game. And then the Commanders went for 2 and didn't get it. I never want to be a Broncos fan. I'll take the Steelers here, but I'd take them on the money line. I would stay away from the spread. It's too low. You know, at some point when you're getting under these 3 numbers, I'd rather just take the money line just in case.
I love it. And then the Sunday night game, Bears and Texans. This could be so, so interesting. I know Caleb Williams looked really bad last week. I know that the Texans barely beat the Colts, but I think that these are two young and promising teams that, Caleb and Stroud, you know, might see each other down the line, sure. But, like, these are two young and promising teams that could be the face of the league in the next 2 years. Like, and I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. I think the Bears have a lot of work to go still. But if we're talking about the Texans versus the Bears week two, I do think the Texans are going to route them. It's their home opener. I'm assuming they're going to be wearing some sick new jerseys. But what version of Caleb Williams are we going to see?
I don't think we're going to see anything. Not saying he's going to have another performance under 100 yards, but I don't think we're going to see a Caleb Williams that we all want to see, which is to succeed. Yeah. I don't think he's going to light it up for 300 yards, but I think he's going to look better. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would hope for a 200-yard game, you know, just maybe a touchdown or two. You know, there were no offensive touchdowns in the game that they beat last week, the game against Tennessee. Yeah. So they're still looking for their first offensive touchdown. And I'll take the Texans. But I'm going to stay away from the spread, though. I really don't want to touch this. This feels prime time. I don't know. I kind of want to enjoy my Sunday night.
No, that's fair. And especially when the Bears just put up 24 defensive / special teams points, like, it's kind of hard to gauge, like, where that score is going to go, because let's say Caleb lights it up and they get those 24 defensive points anyway. It's a possibility.
Right.
But I really think that could be a fun Sunday night game. Two teams that never get that spotlight. It should be fun. And then Monday night, the Falcons and the Eagles. The Dirty Bird Bowl facing off in Philly. This is the Eagles' home opener. This should be an interesting game because I don't know what to make of the Falcons yet. They played a really disgusting, ugly game against the Steelers last week where they scored the game's only offensive touchdown and still lost. Kirk Cousins looked rusty for sure, as he should at that age, coming back from an Achilles or whatever his injury was. The Eagles should win this game handedly. I think
they're going to be a very popular survivor pick.
Yeah.
You see the line. This is one of the biggest line moves of the entire week, moving from 4 to 6.5. I love the Eagles this week. I love the Eagles this week. I liked them last week and it worked. Mm-hmm. I love them this week. I'm going to take the Eagles and I'm going to take them double digits. I don't think this Kirk Cousins led Atlanta Falcons team is going to be, they're not going to live up to the hype this year.
I completely agree. It sucks because Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown and, like, I think Bijan did well, and, like, Arthur Smith is on the other sideline being like, this is how you're supposed to use them. Probably losing his mind. But Falcons are not there yet, and they're not the best team in the division right now, unfortunately.
Nope. Cannot trust them yet.
Nope. I agree. So you're right, Davis. We did skip over this. A couple big games last week.
We went through most of them. The big game, in my opinion, the fun game, the most fun game out of all of them. I mean, I don't know if the Eagles game was fun. It's very stressful. The Chiefs Ravens game was awesome.
Yeah, that likely touchdown was crazy. I'm not gonna lie. I usually don't do this, but I had on the Barstool stream because Dave Portnoy put like 300K on the Ravens for some reason. I don't know why he's doing that week one, but more power to him. And the reaction to him thinking that he caught it and then he was out all time.
They were gonna go for two.
Poor Isaiah Likely. That sucks because they had a great drive, and the play before that, Lamar Jackson overthrew a wide, butt-naked open Zay Flowers for a touchdown. So, can't really say that. Like,
new tight end one in Baltimore?
Let's go to the next slide, Davis. Let's go to the next slide, because I know I have duds at the top because I wanted to get to Marvin Harrison off the rip, but let's talk about Isaiah Likely. Biggest week one riser, arguably him. People were talking badly about Mark Andrews last week on Twitter. I felt bad for my guy, Mark. He was getting killed. People calling him washed. People calling him bad. All these kinds of things. But I don't know. There might be a little bit of merit to it because Isaiah Likely looked like the man out there. I mean, he's had some instances last year where he popped off. But, I mean, he looks clearly more athletic. He looks faster. He's getting open. And Lamar likes him. So I would pick him up if he was out there in your league.
Yeah, he shouldn't be out there anymore with the waiver wire the way your league should have gone. Isaiah Likely, I'm almost positive, scored a touchdown in every postseason game last year, which was only two, I think. But, I mean, once Mark Andrews went down by that hip tackle, this new tight end, I think he can make some moves. And he's very athletic. He's very huge. I think Isaiah Likely could be a name in the league for a while.
Yeah, I completely agree. Keep your eye out for Isaiah Likely. But let's start at the top, Davis. The biggest week one duds. Marvin Harrison Jr., just one catch for 4 yards. I definitely have him at the top because I have him in two of my three main leagues. And that really hurt. Really, really hurt. Especially if you went on Twitter after that Bills-Cardinals game and you saw him streaking wide open on one of those last plays. So a bunch of fantasy points just went out the window there. That sucks. My question for you, unbiased, because obviously I'm facing you in two of those three leagues as well. But can Marvin bounce back this week?
Absolutely.
Will he?
Absolutely. Will he? I don't know. If you had to give me a scale on some of these guys, you can feel free to talk about them, and I'll give you the scale number of worriness, one being don't worry at all, 10 being extreme worry. I put Marvin Harrison at a 1. It's the first game. Fair. We're good.
Fair. No, that's fair. The next one down, Chris Olave. This is an interesting one, Davis. Where is he on your worrisome meter? Because the Saints scored 40 points and he did nothing.
Yeah, I'd say 1.5.
Really? That's it?
They scored 44 points and they had their backups in by the fourth quarter. Not worried about it. He's definitely going to be in more competitive games, but being the – I know he was last year technically, but like being the wide receiver one, he's definitely going to be seeing some really good cornerbacks in the league now.
That's true.
Facing him straight up. So I don't know if it's going to be like the greatest year for him, but I mean, I don't think he flops out of the league or something. So no,
he's talented.
I think he'll be totally fine. You know, he's got Derek Carr throwing him better than some people.
I don't know what to make of that sentence anymore. Derek Carr's still a efficient starter for sure. Speaking of not quarterback, he better be. Speaking of not really efficient quarterbacks, we were talking about Caleb. I just wanted to lump him and Kirk Cousins together because young, fresh quarterback not doing anything. Old, broken down quarterback not doing anything. Kind of levels out. At the same team, sort of at the same crossroads, sort of good defenses, offense not doing much with skill players. I'm not really sure what to think of either of those guys fantasy wise. I have Caleb starting one of my leagues. It's tough. I'm not gonna lie.
Caleb fantasy wise, maybe a 2. Obviously, he's definitely a 1 when it comes to are you actually worried about him. Yeah. Kirk, on the other hand, though, I'd put him up close to a 6. He looked really, really bad. I saw some over like aerial views of him throwing down the field and what he was looking at. I don't think he really checked off his first receiver. Like, he didn't do it a lot. Staring down the guy he was going to throw. And I think that shows that his mobility that he didn't have in the past is completely gone. And I would be worried about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I would be too. Michael Penix is itching to get off of that bench. The next one on the list is the Cincinnati Bengals for obvious reasons. Ja'Marr Chase in contract troubles, throw that out of the window. T. Higgins is still hurt for some reason at the beginning of the year. If you're a running back guy, you're scared to death because you either have Chase Brown or Zach Moss and you're not sure who's going to start, even if you have both. Zach Moss looked like the guy last week, but Chase Brown has been notably the more athletic and younger, better option. So the Bengals are in hell. And then if you drafted the Bengals defense last week, I'm sure you were disappointed and disarray, ashamed, etc.
Yeah. Fantasy-wise, I think you go with a 5. I think you flip-flop here. You know, if you pull out the money, this team, it will be fine. But, you know, the Joe Burrow aspect of things, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's an overreaction. I think I wouldn't be shocked if the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Bengals this week and the Joe Burrow wrist thing becomes top headlines. And then he goes out and wins in week 3. That's just how the NFL works. Seriously, you can clip it right now. I would not be shocked if that happens. I wouldn't be too worried if you're a Bengals fan. Because you also saw the Ravens lose this week against the Chiefs. So you're 100%. Kind of you instead of moving one step back, you're kind of feel like you only moved half a step back. And the Browns look bad too. So I think the Bengals will be fine.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of another AFC North guy, Deshaun Watson. He looked really bad against the Cowboys. Just bad all around. A lot of money still tied to him. And then, new sexual assault case comes out against the man. Yesterday, the NFL said that they're not going to put him on the exempt list and they're kind of not paying attention to it right now. But this is enough to get Deshaun Watson kicked out of the league finally. I saw some rumors that the Browns might have put this out there because he's finally not playing well enough and that this might get him off the roster.
Wild.
this is all enough that you shouldn't be starting him in any league.
Yeah, I would go with a 9, 100% here. Worried. I would consider dropping him.
Yes.
Yeah, not a guy I want on my team.
No, bad guy. Really bad guy. Yeah. And then the risers. Let's be a little bit more positive. J.K. Dobbins. Shout out to J.K. Dobbins. He's had two major injuries back-to-back years and then goes out there and rushes for 150, 140, whatever it was, yards in week one.
Only on like 13 carries or something too.
Yeah, and he's splitting carries with Gus Edwards in that backfield, but got to feel great about J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, good for him.
I think you have him, don't you?
No, I don't have him. Nope, I don't have him in any leagues. I stayed away from both those running backs, but right below him is his teammate that was probably the sleeper pick of the year. Yeah. Everyone was kind of on him. He's one of those guys everyone was on in the preseason. The only reason you know his name is because people were talking about him being a sleeper. Ladd McConkey looked really good. He could be a player for sure on this team that doesn't have many wide receivers.
No, I completely agree. Ladd is an interesting guy. Next one down, Jameson Williams. This might not be as big of a riser now because I think a lot of people have heard his name by now, but it's important to know that he went crazy in a top five offense in the NFL last week. And if you have the option to get him, like by now, you should be getting him because he's probably gone off your waivers. He's probably, you know, well into the depths of trade talks by now. Jameson Williams is going to be a guy that you're going to be like, what was I doing? How did I not have my eye on him in the draft?
Yeah, Amon-Ra didn't have a good game. So I think, you know, you're not going to see that Jameson Williams every time, but you're going to see him in the slot and you're going to see him in a good position to make good plays on a good offense on a good team. In a dome. So I never hate that. I'll take Jameson Williams 100%.
Yeah, completely agree. We already talked about likely. Get him if you can. Xavier Worthy, probably going to be the best rookie this year.
Just a perfect offense for him to be on.
Like, perfect. People are already comparing him to Tyreek Hill this offseason because of his speed, and you could ignore that, but you can't anymore because they probably used him better than Tyreek Hill ever did. Like, they used him in jet sweeps, and he was wide open on a route. Like, he looks like he's a legit good receiver, too. It's going to be worrisome for the Chiefs.
Agreed. And our last one here. Our brand new shiny toy, Saquon Barkley.
He's so good. Oh my God. That catch. I mean, Jalen threw like a nice pass, but that catch he had in the corner of the end zone was beautiful.
Yeah.
Just seeing the Saquon spaz after a touchdown is nice too. Yeah. Just seeing him run around.
Yeah.
It's great. I need to see the Eagles like at home with Saquon in an Eagles jersey doing the whole shebang for real this Monday, but heading in the right direction for sure, Davis.
Agreed. Yeah, I think Saquon's – I mean, I think he's a great addition to this team that was never a huge running back guy, like as in –
Me neither.
I don't think they're worth the money. But to be completely honest with you, I'm still going to say it right now, I don't really think Saquon might not have been worth the money when it comes to just where else you can spend your money, whether it be on the defensive side, the linebackers, the cornerbacks that, you know, we could have been spending that money. But to score 3 touchdowns in his first game was fantastic. I cannot wait to see what he can do this year. Quick nibble, 11-1 to win offensive player of the year.
Ooh.
Right now, just a nibble.
Thank you for putting it out there, Davis. That's why the people love you. That is, dare I say, free money?
No, not free money. Never free money. We're one week in, Ethan.
Yeah, I apologize. But, come on. That week one, watch his highlights and tell me he's not offensive player of the year. Or if the season ended right now, he would be offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Well, technically, because he won the NFC player of the week, I think. So let's go.
Let's go.
All right. This is a great show, Davis. We are going to be back next week with week 3 recap for college football, week 3 preview for NFL. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you subscribe, share, like, send it to your friend. Tag Ryan Brake in the comments. We love you guys. Peace.